ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 11 एंटाइटल्ड जड़ भरत इंस्ट्रक्ट्स किंग रहुगण टेक्स्ट नंबर 9। एकादशास्मनसो हि वृत्तयः आकूतयः पञ्च धियोभिमानः मात्राणि कर्माणि पूरं च तासाम् वदन्ति एकादश वीरभूमि। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: there are 5 working senses and 5 knowledge acquiring senses. There is also the false ego. In this way, there are 11 items for the mind's function. O hero, the objects of the senses, such as sound and touch, the organic activities such as evacuation and the different type of bodies, society, friendship and personality are considered by learned scholars the fields of activity for the function of the mind. Purport: the mind is the controller of the 5 knowledge acquiring senses and the 5 working senses. Each sense has its particular field of activity. In all cases, the mind is the controller or the owner. By the false ego, one thinks oneself the body and thinks in terms of my body, my house, my family, my society, my nation, and so on. These false identifications are due to the expansions of the false ego. Thus, one thinks that he is this or he is that. Thus, the living entity becomes entangled in material disease.
Ekadashas manaso hi vrittaya akutaya pancha dhiyobhimanah matrani karmani puram chatasam vadanti haikadasha virabhumi.
So, Sri Jad Bharat is instructing King Rahugana. He has just begun instructions few verses back, and basically he is describing about the illusion of this material world, because this was the point which made the King Rahugana inquisitive. When King Rahugana chastised Jad Bharat for not carrying the palanquin properly, at that point Shri Jad Bharat made the point that if you think that you are the king and I am the servant, and if you think that these are the true facts, and in the next life you can be the palanquin carrier and I can be the king, or things can, situations can change. Hearing these intelligent words about the temporary nature of material body and bodily identification, Maharaj Rahugana's dormant inquisitive nature for spiritual life was immediately awakened. And therefore, Sri Jad Bharat is speaking about the same topic in the beginning of his instructions to Maharaj Rahugana. In the future, he will go ahead and describe about the devotional service. But right now, he is just describing about the bodily identification and how the body is made up of. Here, he is telling, as we heard in this very wonderful description of the city of 9 gates, that there are 10 guards and 11th is their leader, which represent the 10 senses and 11th is the mind. So here is telling the same thing, that there are 5 knowledge acquiring senses and 5 working senses, and mind 11th is their leader. Ekadashas manaso hi vrittaya, and there are 2 types, akutaya and dhiyobhimana, knowledge acquiring and working. And by these senses and abhimana, what is added to this mind and 10 senses is added is abhimana, that is ego. And with this, puram cha tasam, puram cha, Srila Prabhupada explains, as body, society, nation, family, or place of nativity, and tasam. And in this way, he is telling, oh, Veera Bhumi. Veera means, he is indicating the Lord, not Lord, the King. And oh, King, you are a Veera person, a very powerful man. But in this way, identifying with the body with 11 senses, the soul becomes entangled. And here the mind is described as the leader of the 10 senses. And we can see, actually, there is one nice example that how our mind decides our activities and mental activities decides our next birth. The example is given of that of a caterpillar when it is entrapped within a cocoon by a insect, what we call moth. And then because it was forcefully entrapped in that cocoon by the moth, the caterpillar is very much afraid of the moth, fear. And therefore it always thinks of the moth in fear. And slowly, slowly, he develops the body of the moth and comes out of the cocoon. So therefore, we see the mental activities, they fix up our future bodies. And this need not, sometimes people question, how can this be so? But we can see this happening at every moment in our life. Our mental activities fix up our future material body. Not that first, like suppose somebody wants to become very strong and Mr. Universe. Not that he becomes first Mr. Universe physically and then thinks of becoming Mr. Universe. And the first thing that happens is in the mind. He thinks first in the mind that I should have a very nice, powerful, muscular body. And then automatically the body follows the mental dictations. Suppose you want to eat something wonderful in some special hotel which you like. Not that you just are there and then you decide, okay, let me eat. No, you decide about eating some dosa or vada over there in the hotel many hours or days back. And then first the mind decides and then the body follows. Suppose in the childhood days you are trained by the mind, then let me become a good athlete. So first the mind decides, let me become a good athlete. And then when the mind decides, let me become a good athlete, then the body starts working for it, running up and down 8 hours a day, working for that. Not that you run without any cause. And then you say, okay, I'm a good athlete. No. We see in this material world, everything that happens, the body follows the mind. There is, all the examples we see are in a, suppose somebody wants to learn driving. He first decides, let me learn driving. Then the body goes to a motor training school. Everything in this world, if we see, first is decided by the mind. And then the body follows all the mental plans. Similarly, and as the mind decides, the body follows, it becomes an athlete, it becomes a weightlifter, the body becomes a Mr. Bombay or Mr. Universe, or the body becomes an intelligent scholar. So first, we decide, let me do this, and then the body follows. Similarly, whatever we think in this life, similarly, our next body is prepared accordingly for our next birth. So therefore we should understand, as in this life, our body follows the mental activities. There is no physical activity which happens to us or which we do which is not thought by the mind. Now, we can't think of any single activity which we perform which is not initially planned by the mind. Our eating, everything, bathing, everything, all activities are first planned by the mind. Let me do it. Let me earn some money. Let me wear some beautiful clothes, maybe blue, black, jeans. And then we collect money and go and purchase it in the store. Nothing happens without the planning of the mind. So therefore, this mind is called the leader of the 10 senses. And 10 senses follow the desires of the mind. But if we nicely study this material nature as akutaya pancha dhiyo abhimana, then the mind also follows another thing, but that is ego, the first contact of the soul with this material world. Because first the ego decides, I am a South Indian, the training is there from the birth, then the mind starts liking idli dosa. Then as soon as we take birth, ego decides, I am a Punjabi. then the mind starts liking paratha and lassi. That's how the things work. First the ego has to act. I am a Maharashtrian, then the mind, or a Gujarati, then the mind starts liking dhokla. And then actually there is nothing on the senses. If you observe analytically or physically, the senses and the sense contacts, it's the same thing. Whether you put dhokla on the tongue, or idli on the tongue, or you put some paratha on the tongue, or some puran puri on the tongue, or you put anything, is the senses and the sense contacts is basically the same thing. Some gross earth with some liquid is being put on the. Actually, if you don't know, you are not eating puran puri, and then if the mind is not aware, you will not enjoy it. The mind has to be aware that you are eating some particular item. Then you start enjoying it. So the mind decides what I like. Oh, I like to ride a motor. I want to become a doctor because I have taken birth in a family of doctors. So body gets the ego identity first. Or we see mostly it happens in this material world. Especially it happens in the defense section. Those people who are children who are of the children of people in military, army or navy, they tend to go to again the same field. Or doctors also we see. Doctors' children, they tend to become doctors. So the ego is there from the childhood. I am a son of a doctor. Or I am a son of a general. I am a son of a lawyer. Something like that. Not that this is always happening. But we see the ego first builds up its identity. I am thin. I am man. I am woman. And it happens in all the species. In human species, we may like some music, which is like classical or rock. Because we think I am a man. But in the frog species, we may like that frog sound which the frog makes in the innocent. Round, round, round. The frogs may like, they may say, oh, this is very wonderful sound. Very attractive. And they get, the frogs attract the opposite sex by that, and the opposite sex get attracted by that sound. We may feel this sound is unattractive. Because our ego has made the identity, I am a man. But when you become a frog, the ego makes the identity, I am a frog. Immediately as we make the identity, I am a frog, then the mind starts acting in that way. I like the draw sound. Then I like the birds, not the insects flying in the air, and I like to eat them. Immediately the identity is made, and the mind starts liking or disliking things as per our ego identity. Therefore, this ego is there, which is called the first connection of the soul with the material world. The first, the ego makes one identity, and then intelligence and the mind, they start working as per the ego. Therefore, we see things, we see so much variety of human beings and so much variety of species in this world. But if we break down analytically into Sankhya, we see this is, first the soul accepts some ego. I am this part, so I like that type of food, or I like that type of music particular. And after the ego is made, then the mind starts demanding sankalpa, vikalpa. According to its ego, it starts acting. And according to the desires of the mind, we get the senses also from the birth to enjoy something. So therefore, in this material world, whatever varieties we see in this world is manifestation of this ego, then the mind, and then the senses. And in this world, all these things are ultimately controlled by three modes of nature. Therefore, this knowledge is being given to Jad Bharat, given by Jad Bharat to King Rahugna. Because King Rahugna was in the bodily conception of life. And he was thinking, I am the king. So immediately, if I am the king, then I should be sitting in the palanquin. Then his palanquin carrier should be listening to my order. Then I should wear a very nice jewelry and opulent clothes. Then I should order and people should listen. So with the ego, the mind starts desiring. If the same person would have been some minister, then he should have, okay, I should listen to the king. But others should listen to me. His ego would have created a different mental idea. And according to the mental idea, the senses would have worked in a little different way. Or if the same person would have been palanquin carrier, the ego would have thought, oh, I am a palanquin carrier. So let me listen to the king. So mind accepts to listen to the king. And then the senses are very strong to work in that way. Therefore, this Jad Bharat is telling Maharaj Ravana that don't believe illusion and think that you are the king. Because these are temporary identification only attached or created by the egoistic idea, which are followed by the mental and the sensual actions. So therefore, he is telling, don't think of the king. He says these things, then from the body, the things are extended. The society, friendship, family, nation. These all identities are based on the physical body. The ego accepts, oh, I am this body. So then, this community is mine. It is based on the body. You go, I am a Brahmana, so I should work for all the Brahmanas. Or I am a Kshatriya, so I should work for all the Kshatriyas. Or I am a Kumbha, so I should work for all the Kumbhas. The first comes with the ego. Oh, I am this. When the ego is created, then the mind desires and the body acts. So it's, and then there are, according to the ego and the mind, there are friendships, our dealings. Oh, he is dear to me. He is my enemy. He is my well-wisher. He is my good friend. He likes me. He doesn't like me. So, but King Rahugana is being told by Jad Bharat to get out of all these conceptions in his life. Because this is ultimately illusion. Because the soul is completely beyond all these things. And this is ultimately this material body we get is according to our ego. But then once we get this body, it is controlled by three modes of nature. And Lord Shri Krishna very nicely explains this, how this material body is created and controlled by three modes of nature in the chapter entitled The Three Modes of Nature, Gunatraya Vibhag Yoga, in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Although most of us might have read this 14th chapter, but as per my experience goes, when we discuss, we understand the things in a better way. So here in the 14th chapter, as His Grace Adavalla Prabhu quoted yesterday this verse, that Urdhvam Gacchanti Sattvastha Madhye Tishtanti Rajasa Jaganya Guna Vrittishtha Ado Gacchanti Tamasa. That people, once they take birth, so is it that once I take birth with some particular ego, say I am so caste, such language, such country, and with a particular body and mind and senses, is it that in this human life, that influence of modes and ego and the mind remains exactly fixed? It doesn't change. No, Lord Shri Krishna, then if that is remaining fixed, then how this rule is there, Udvam Gacchanti Sattvastha Madhya, that how, and if this rule is there, what is the use of this rule? If I am in mode of goodness, I am going to go up. If there is no scope for change, then this rule is like, okay, it's a rule, but there is no use of this, knowing this rule. If I am in mode of ignorance, there is no point if I know this rule, because anyway I am going to go to lower species. But Lord Krishna is telling this because in human birth, there is some scope of changing the influence and our ego and mental conceptions. And exactly this point is being told by Lord Shri Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto. Lord Shri Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna lists there are 10 points, that these 10 things influence the people into changing their present modes of nature. Lord Shri Krishna in this 11th canto, he says, I'll just read the list. He says, first, from the birth, agamas, that means the scriptures which we read, that can change our mentality and that can change our present influence or present ego or present mental setup. Then apah. Apah means water and food which we eat. Yeah, we take birth in certain family, but then in future we have some choice also. So the food and water which we eat, that can also slowly influence our mentality and our material modes, influence of modes of nature. Then third point Lord Shri Krishna says is praja. Praja means association. Whom we associate with. We can see sometimes a very good man, he associates with a drunkard. We see mostly in the hostels, before going to hostel, the children are very good. But when they go to hostel and associate with the wrong company, then they get wrong influences. So this praja is another point. Then the desh. Desh means country where we live. That is fourth point. Where this, we may take birth with certain modes, but then it can change. Then fifth is kal. Kal means time of the day. As it is said, mornings are in the mode of goodness, afternoon. Not that all the people in the morning are completely in mode of goodness. It's not, but still some influence is there. Therefore spiritual activities are suggested in the Brahma Murta time. The kal, the time of the day can influence. Then, certainly karma, our activities. Certainly we choose our activities as per our choice, but sometimes some activities are forced or there is some, we can decide whether I want to go for these activities or that activity. And that also makes slowly, slowly, they change our nature. Then, these are sometimes they can change or these influences our modes and present body. Seventh, Lord Shri Krishna says is janma or conditions from the birth. The where we take birth, that influences our ego and mind. Then eighth, he says is dhyan. We live in the city, certainly there is some influence of the surroundings on our dhyan. Therefore, we see sometimes we go to pilgrimage or we go to outside city when we are not bombarded with these hoardings and the whole surrounding, then there is some change. So thoughts, dhyan means thoughts, the thoughts in our mind, that also change. And the ninth is the mantras. Mantras means what mantras we chant. In Vedic scriptures also there are various mantras which can influence in the mode of ignorance, goodness, passion. So what mantras we chant. And tenth is the samskaras which we get from the birth. So all these 10 points make up one's personality. In some points we can see there is some scope for change. Like janma, there is no scope for change. But like kal or shastra which we read or food we eat, that there is some scope for change. There's some little scope for one to go from mode of goodness to passion, passion to goodness, goodness to ignorance. So Lord Shri Krishna says, these various ways can influence our modes of nature which are working on us. But then in the next point, verses after telling Urdhvam Gacchanti Sattvastha, he tells to Arjuna, Nanyam Gunebhya Kartaram Yada Ishtanu Pashyati Gunebhyascha Param Vetti Madabhavam So Adigacchati. So now Lord Shri Krishna is coming to the first verses, what is goodness? Goodness gives to happiness and passion is to the hankering. But then, now we are discussing the point of liberating ourselves from these material conceptions of ego, mind, which are controlled by modes of nature. So, Lord Shri Krishna says, when one properly sees, what he sees? That all acted in this world are carried out by three modes of nature. And he sees, he knows that supreme law is transcendental to three modes. Many times Krishna makes this point. Oh, what is that? That I am not bound by the karma. Hanamam karmani bandanti namaye karma phales prua. Iti mam yo bhi janati. Karma bhir nasa badhyate. One who knows that I am not bound by karma, he is also liberated from karma. Lord Krishna is telling that one who knows that just by knowing that Krishna is not bound by karma, we also become liberated by karma. So here Krishna is telling one point. By knowing that Krishna is not influenced by three modes of nature, we can also become madbhavam. He can also come to my nature, that is beyond three modes of nature. Madbhavam so adhigacchati. So, but here our acharyas explain that two points, Lord Shri Krishna. How can knowledge of three modes of nature help us in liberation? Here acharyas gives us a very nice point. How can a sadhak bhakta be helped by knowledge of three modes of nature? And Lord Shri Krishna is putting in this 19th verse these two points. First point is telling, Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada dushtanu anupashyati. That one should see the modes working in this world everywhere. And first he should start seeing on himself. First he should start identifying himself that how I am being controlled by three modes of nature. I have particular mentality, particular nature, particular likings, particular dislikings, particular desires, particular hate. All these, here Lord Shri Krishna is telling, first of all, a sadhak bhakta should see that how the three modes of nature are influencing his body, and he is acting like that photo in the Bhagavad Gita, like completely controlled by this puppet show, completely controlled by these ropes, by three modes. But what's the point in seeing ourselves being controlled by three modes of nature? The point is, when we see ourselves being controlled by three modes of nature, we can start feeling and understanding that we actually, the soul is different from the body. When we start introspecting and start understanding this point, that my body is completely controlled by three modes of nature and it is just acting like a puppet, then we also feel and actually realize that the soul within is just helplessly moved around by this body. Soul actually has nothing to do with this body which is controlled by three modes of nature. So, and another point, advantage of sadhak bhakta knowing this knowledge, as soon as he starts knowing that his body is controlled by three modes of nature, equally also understands that everything around him, all the people around him are also similarly controlled by three modes of nature, and their soul is also aloof or beyond their bodily activities. So by this he learns that I should go beyond desire and hate. Because we desire as per our bodily influences, as per our modes influence our body. I desire some enjoyment, but actually my body is desiring that. I desire something to enjoy, some food. Say, as I said, Gujarati, they like dhokla. South Indians, they like idli. Maharashtrians, they may like puran puri. Punjabis, they may like paratha. So we understand that these likings and desires are only as per my body, which I got under the influence of three modes. So he learns to go beyond desire. And by seeing others being in a similar situation, the sadhak bhakta learns to go beyond hate. Because I dislike this person, because he talks this way, or because he walks this way, because he likes this item and I just don't like it. But when he understands that his liking, actually his soul is also beyond his liking and disliking. That is just being carried on by the body, just like a puppet. So why to hate that soul? Why to hate that person? He may like idli sambar, I may like dhokla. But that is all just the three modes of nature controlling the body, and we both are beyond. So the sadhak bhakta, by knowing that the modes of nature control this material world, he can go beyond desire and hate. Because hate is just, we generally hate people or like people based on their bodily activities, not on the soul. And when we know that the soul is completely beyond his bodily manifestations of some nature, for example, somebody, it's difficult for these two natures of person to be together. Somebody walks fast, and for him to be with a slow walker is very intolerable. Or somebody walks slow, and for him to be fast walker is very intolerable. Or somebody likes some environment, somebody doesn't like some environment. But by having this knowledge, the soul slowly learns, the mind slowly gets trained, that these are just activities of material nature, three modes of nature, and I should just not like or dislike a person or myself based on these material tendencies. So in this way, he learns equality in this material world. He can learn to go beyond desire and hate. But this is not enough. Krishna says, one should see this world just as activities of modes of nature. But second point which he should see is that I am beyond the three modes of nature. That is also important. By learning this chapter, 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we can come to the level of going beyond desire and hate. But we should also know that Krishna is beyond these three modes. Although Krishna's activities may sometimes appear to be like material activities, he is crying when the mother is chastising, or he is stealing butter, or all the activities, like I just met one cousin. He said, how can your God, he is a cowherd? It's material. It's mundane. How can God be cowherd? How can your God be eating butter? It's mundane desires. He was talking with me like that. But we have to understand that Krishna is beyond. Gune bhyascha param vetti. Param means beyond three modes. So So first step for a sadhak bhakta, Krishna is telling, to go beyond, then if we can learn these two steps, when we become free from desire and hate, and understand that Krishna is beyond three modes, then what happens? Mad bhavam so adhigacchati. Then we can also reach that mad bhavam, that stage which is beyond three modes of nature. Then, in the next verse, Lord Sri Krishna says that one who has attained such stage, when the embodied being is able to transcend his three modes associated with material bodies, then he becomes free from birth, old age, disease and death. And the distresses. So, how does, like somebody will say, how can, like we say, in this body is liberated. But he is going to become old, he is going to become diseased, and he is going to die. Yes, we see the souls who have become siddhas, their body is going to undergo old age, disease and death. But Lord Shri Krishna is telling, they become free from old age, disease and death, and their distresses. Here his Prabhupada explains, and Lord Shri Krishna also says, what Prabhupada explains, he can become free from the birth, death, old age, and their distresses. So externally there may be old age, disease and death, but the soul who is liberated becomes free from the distresses associated with these things. And he can even enjoy nectar in this life. So then immediately, Arjuna asks the questions. Because if such a wonderful knowledge is being told, the question comes. Arjuna asks three questions in text 21. What are these three questions? He says, oh, Arjuna inquired, Arjuna Uvacha, Kair lingas trin guna tetan atito bhavati prabhu. By which symptom is one known who is transcended to three modes? So what are the symptoms of one who has become transcended to three modes? What is his behavior and how does he transcend the three modes? So these are the three questions which Arjun asks, which are also important for us to know. The first is, what are the symptoms? Second is, what is his behavior? How does he behave? And third is, how to become transcended to three modes? So first is asking how to identify a person. Guru, who is beyond three modes. What are his symptoms? How is his behavior? And how we can become beyond three modes? So Lord Shri Krishna, Prabhupada says, Arjuna asks many questions and Lord Shri Krishna answers them one by one. So first, about symptoms, he says the person who has gone beyond three modes is neutral. He is not influenced, na dveshti sama pravrutti, na nivrutti, na kangshati. He doesn't desire material body, he doesn't hate a material body. He doesn't desire, Prabhupada says, one does not need this material body. So we do not need this material body. But one who is beyond, he does not need to accept the dictation of material body. Then he says, 1 minute. He does not desire to enjoy the body, at the same time he does not desire to get out of it. He becomes completely neutral, he is just completely beyond his bodily concept. He does not envy something, he does not hanker for anything, he doesn't desire material senses, at the same time he doesn't hate the influences of material body. He just remains in the material body with full neutrality. So that are the symptoms. What are the symptoms? He doesn't desire anything, he doesn't hate the material body. Sometimes our spiritualists, they hate the material body. They say we don't want, but one who is a devotee, who is gone beyond three modes, he doesn't hate the material body also. He just remains like, okay, no problem. If the body is not influencing his consciousness, what does it matter whether he is in the body or not? He doesn't even put that effort to get out of this body. He doesn't desire it also. He doesn't put the effort also to get out of this body. Then, how does he behave? This one point is there which we will take a little later. Then how does he behave? His behavior, Lord Shri Krishna says, Sukha dukha, sama sukha dukha svastha, sama loshtrasma kanchana, tulya priya apriyo dhiras, tulya ninda sanstuti, manap apamana yo tulyas, tulya mitra ripakshayo, sarvarambha parityagi gunatita sauchyate. His behavior is, he sees everyone with equal vision. He sees sukha dukkha equally. He is not influenced by sukha and dukkha. He sees dhiras tulya ninda stuti. The person who has gone three modes, how does he behave? He behaves equally in honor, stuti and ninda when he is criticized. Then, mana apamana yo tulya. Man apaman. He is completely uninfluenced. No influence on him. That is how he behaves. The tulya mitra ripakshayo. This is more higher. Tulya mitra ari or ripu. That means friend and enemy. He is completely equipoised with his friends and enemies. Srila Prabhupada explains, still he considers those who help him in his devotional services friends. But he is not against his enemies as well. So he is not considered, he is completely beyond friends and enemies. In this way, this is the behavior of one who has gone beyond three modes of nature. And then finally, Lord Shri Krishna answers the third question. How can one go beyond three modes of nature? In the next verse, he answers. He says, Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samte itaitan brahma bhuvaya kalpate. He says, one who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at one transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. This is a very good answer. That one who goes beyond three modes of, one who is completely engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of nature. But we can say this is good answer, but little irrelevant to us right now. Because this is describing more of one who is higher level of devotional service, perfected, more towards perfected, because he is fully engaging in devotional service, which is unwavering in all circumstances. Most of us, certainly myself, we know that we are not on this level. We are not engaging in devotional service 24 hours a day, and certainly not it is unwavering in all circumstances. Immediately, some anxiety influence over chanting, some sickness influence over chanting. So we are not on this level. So Srila Prabhupada, he answers this in this previous verse of equanimity. He says the modes of nature are always influencing. And in human life, there is some scope to change the modes of nature, to come from ignorance to passion to goodness. And that process is Krishna consciousness. But to go beyond three modes, what has been just told is very high. But then how does Krishna consciousness influence? Srila Prabhupada explains here. 1 minute, just let me come. When the living entity stays in this material world, he is embodied by a material body. And then he is not out of, then he is in the clutches of material world. But when he is actually out of material influence, he is out of the clutches of three modes of nature. But then what about in between? But as long as he is not out of the material body, he should be neutral. So we are saying, as long as we are in this material body, that means we are being influenced by modes of nature, we should be neutral. And then he should engage himself in devotional service of the Lord. Why? Because by engaging ourselves in the devotional service of the Lord, so that his identity with the material body will automatically be forgotten. So when we engage in devotional service, sadhana bhakti, where our devotional service is not unwavering and fully Krishna conscious, we can see when we engage in Krishna consciousness, our identification with the material body is forgotten, at least for time being. At least we have experience of this. When we are engaged in serving Gopinath, Sri Radha Gopinath ji, Lalita Vishakha ji, or when we are doing ascetic kirtan, or when we are honoring prasadam, or when we are engaged in some spiritual activities, at least for some time being, for few moments, few seconds, few minutes, we forget our material identity. When we are dancing in kirtan, we are not remembering, I am that body or this body or I like this thing or that thing. When we are doing some service intensely, when we are chanting nicely, attentively, then we forget our material body at least for the time being. And in this way, for some time, the influence of modes of nature is not on us. And when we practice this constantly again and again, again and again, which is called sadhana bhakti, we can get beyond these three modes of nature. And by practice, we can come to the level of mamchayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samti tretan brahma bhuvaya kalpate. So, this is the advantage of knowing this, how this material body works under the mode of ego, the 11 senses, the mind, and how these ultimately are controlled by three modes of nature. In essence, what we discussed is this material body is completely controlled by three modes of nature. And as per the Lord Shri Krishna's instructions, when we start developing this knowledge of this bodily makeup and three modes, the first thing is we should see all the activities around us in three modes of nature, which includes ourselves. So we understand that this body is being influenced by three modes, but the soul is beyond. So we can go beyond the level of desire and hate. And then we should also learn to see and know that Lord Shri Krishna is beyond three modes of nature. So when we start thinking of Lord Shri Krishna, as we discussed in the beginning of our lecture, what the mind thinks, we attain that. For example, just one minute, for this Urdhvam Gacchanti Sattvastha. In this human body, we can think of enjoyment little better than ours. Let me have such a place where there are no bad smell, where there is food which is better than the present food, whether there is opposite sex enjoyment better than the present enjoyment, where there is nice vehicles which don't pollute and there are no traffic jams. So by we desire such things, isn't it? Oh, if there is no traffic jam, so wonderful. If the food doesn't become stale, so nice. So we can desire something which is better than our level. So we are promoted to Urdhvam Gacchanti Sattvastha, heavenly planets. Then we can go little much better than there. Or if we are engrossed in the present thought, then we desire only the present activities. We don't want to improve our enjoyment. We just want to enjoy our present enjoyment. Then that is called rajogun and we will remain here. And then whenever we are influenced by modes of ignorance, we even don't want to enjoy present enjoyment. We want to degrade. We just want to sleep or booze off or be completely intoxicated and sleep anywhere on the road like an insect or like a hog. So then we degrade and go to the immediately lower species. But at the same time, as we heard just now in the latter part of our lecture, in our spiritual life, for some moments, if we start thinking of Krishna, then our next body will be made up of spiritual body. So this is the technique. The technique remains the same in whether we get next material body or next spiritual body. Whatever we think of to begin with for some moments, and then some moments should increase for some more moments, and then some few minutes, and then hours, and then days, and then weeks, and then without any break, avyabhicharena, then we can be promoted. Next life, we can go to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Radha Gopinath Prabhu.
Prabhu, thank you for a very analytical class, analyzing all the how the senses coming with their objects. One has to realize through knowledge these things. But then, the same mentality is good for oneself. But if the same is portrayed on others, probably it may become hard-heartedness or even leading to offensiveness. Because say for example in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is crest jewel of all literatures, verses after verses describe so many eatable items, and after this particular thing should be eaten, and you know this will cause this problem, therefore one should eat this one after that one. And so many things like that. So, the whole thing is, how this thing is absorbed for oneself and how to develop that the same mentality shouldn't be portrayed on others. Now, we may become insensitive to how people treat us, deal with us, tulya, mana, vimanayo, etc. But how become insensitive and at the same time super sensitive to the needs of others? How do we actually balance?
I will just try to answer because you asked. Lord Shri Krishna says also in Bhagavad Gita, whatever comes to my mind, na buddhi vedam janayet ajnanam karma sanginam joshet sarva karmani vidvan ukta samacharet. So suddenly we cannot decide that this person is lower than me because I am advanced, but still at the same time we should not be insensitive, because Krishna is also telling na buddhi vedam janayet. This is what Krishna is saying, don't become insensitive. The person in this is to tolerate others. Sometimes we should be able to tolerate different types of people around us in a happy mood. At the same time, we should not become insensitive, because we should understand that they are acting as per their natures. And there is no point in immediately like chastising them or something. Only thing they can get free from their material bondage is by engaging in Krishna consciousness. So we can concentrate on that part, that how they can be engaged in Krishna consciousness more and more, and rather than becoming insensitive towards their needs, because the person is acting helplessly as per his birth and his influences of three modes and mind. So we can't artificially change that. That's what Lord Sri Krishna is telling in the whole Gita. But what we can do is help him advance in spiritual life or become more and more Krishna conscious, and help his nature, help him engage in nature, in help him engage his natural activities in Krishna consciousness. That way he can be happy doing his natural proclivities. At the same time, because he is serving Lord Shri Krishna, he can become free from the influence of material modes also. Certainly this knowledge should not make us insensitive. At the same time, that's what I think. Because we should see the person they are behaving. So we should not criticize them or find their fault. Rather than, we should know that this fault is not owned by the soul, but owned by his present state of body. That is what Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Brahmane Gavi Hastini, Shuni Chaiva Shapake Cha. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada says this equality doesn't mean that you can respect or treat a Brahmana and a snake in a similar way. Or you can go and embrace a Brahmana, but you can't go and embrace a tiger. We have to see with equal vision. At the same time, there is some distinction in behavior, but that distinction in behavior should not be born out of hate. But you should know this soul is at present embodied in that type of particular body. So not, yes?
No, my point is also, amongst very elevated Vaishnavas who are realized souls, we feel, we see this kind of dealings, caring for the body, caring for the needs of the mind, being sensitive. How do we understand that? At the same time, we see that we should be beyond these three modes. I'm talking of regular people, I'm talking of advanced amongst Vaishnavas we see.
Because I can explain this way. First of all, they may be advanced souls, so they are more sensitive. They want to soar. They are more, because they are advanced, they are more eager to soar in the best possible way. In fact, they are the highest sensitive people who want to please the other person. But as I said, we may think ourselves who is out of the body. The other person is right now in the, like, we can serve him. Right now we can't, even in the advanced level, we are serving him through the physical body. Like our Guru Radhanath Maharaj once said, that I may want to meet each and every thousands of people in this world, but right now I am limited by this body and I can meet only few of them. Similarly, although the souls may be advanced in the material body, but still they are in the material body. They are liberated, but still they are at present physically present in the material body. So we are serving them through that means. Like Lord Shri Krishna, although technically it is a ashta thing, like a metal, stone. Initially it is a material form, but Lord Shri Krishna becomes present in that. So we are serving him. We wash the, technically speaking, the marble deities or metal deities. We polish them. We care for the polish of the metal. Certainly it's metal, but Lord Shri Krishna is there. Not that our polish will make Krishna shine, but still we do it because we are serving him through that means. Similarly, we are serving that devotee who is advanced through the means of this body, and therefore we have to be very careful to serve him nicely, to provide him nice, whatever he wants. And to provide him nice means for rest, for he may be beyond all these things. But we are serving him at present through the material body, just like we are serving the deities, Lord Shri Krishna, through the material manifestations, although Krishna is present. So we have to take care of not to offending the soul. So therefore, because at present we can serve him, or even the two advanced devotees can serve each other through the material body, which they are in right now. Therefore the material body undergoes the changes of old age, disease, death. Although they are not influenced, but it undergoes. So therefore, right now, because we are serving through the means of material body, we have to take care of that. We have to take care of the means of the material body. We can't just say, oh, he's advanced soul, so let me feed him some dry oil cakes. Not even one advanced soul will tell another advanced soul that way. Because Krishna can eat anything, Krishna says. But we don't feed Gopinath we just try to make the best preparations. So because we are serving him, so that's what I can say. Maybe Govind Prabhu or Shavan Prabhu can, or yourself can add some comments. No, but comment to the answer of Gopinath. Is it the answer?
What I understood is the technicalities of the Shastras are understood from the head, and the devotional point is from the heart. So, you know, the difference of the effect, the influence of the three modes of material nature on ourselves and others has to be seen like that. Otherwise, sentimental understanding of, I cannot be seeing them to be like me, will lead to a misunderstanding of the principle of devotional service. Then it becomes the chief philosophy. Therefore, Madan Gopal Prabhu explained very beautifully about the technicalities, and they have to be understood like that. In that regard, we don't make any discrimination. So what I understood is that all the technicalities of Shastra, they are for knowledge. Somebody was mentioning knowledge guides our life and devotion inspires our life. So these are the two principles of understanding. I think it's late. I will.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Yantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Devotees are saying I should ask the question. You should answer. Okay. The question is, because you spoke so beautifully about the mind and the body and the senses, one of the brilliant classes, we'll make a transcription of this talk and distribute to everybody. So you can add one more point to this. I had always this confusion. What is the role of us, heart with the mind? What is the functions of the mind? What is the function of the heart? How do they interact with each?
The physical heart, which is
heart, our heart,
consciousness,
yeah. Heart and the mind. What is their difference? Different function.
You can answer.
That actually the false ego is in the heart. Yeah. So when the soul through the false ego connects to the body through the intelligence, that is the false ego. And when the soul connects to the body through the mind, and the intelligence is influenced by the bodily concept, that is the false ego. Prabhupada writes, intelligence is the next door neighbor to the soul. So that intelligence which is influenced, which is intelligence under the mind and the body, is the false ego, whereas that intelligence which is subordinate to the soul, that is the real ego, its real nature.
The point is, the heart word is, we use the heart word in our dealings, which they say we should do things from the heart. But in our technical discussion, there is no heart, there is mind, intelligence, and ego. There's one term which is there, which is chit. But chit is not some different thing, it is just like consciousness, combination of all these things. So when we answer technically, the heart, there is no heart technical of the word used over here. But heart can be related to the consciousness or sincerity of the purpose. So heart is just like the together of like consciousness basically. The soul's consciousness is equal to sincerity. Maybe Shaman Prabhu can add something.
You have gone to the heart of the matter.
What is the question? Where is the heart?
What is the relation between heart and the mind?
Well, there is this Sangha which comes on email, there is something in that. I had read somewhere that there is a biological heart.
No, he's not telling the biological
heart. I know, you're not talking of that. There is a biological heart and then there is the heart which we say, you work with your heart, as you said. So what is that heart, the non-biological heart? So it can be, the biological heart is a place where the soul and super soul meet. To wherever they are. And when we say work with your heart, we are actually attaching feelings and emotions. So these feelings and emotions can be felt all over the body. It is not just like if you hurt someone with your emotional attack, it's not that only his hand is affected or his legs are affected. Entire person is affected. So there is no question of locating or understanding it. But mind and heart are used interchangeably. Yeah, Mora Man Vrindavan. He says, my mind is. This is something worth exploring.
Srila Prabhupada ki